BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
No.
Cat Deeley.
Good luck with that.
Edith Bowman.
Really, am I shearing the whole thing?
This is Friends Will Be Friends with Cat and Edith from BBC Radio 2.
Hello there, I'm Cat Deeley.
Oh, hello there. I'm Edith Bowman.
Thank goodness for that.
Hey!
And welcome to Friends Will Be Friends, our brand new podcast for BBC Sounds and BBC Radio 2.
What is it, I hear you ask? What on earth is Friends?
What is it?
What is Friends Will Be Friends? Well, some of you might know that we are actual friends, Kat and I.
Are we real life friends or showbiz friends?
I think we're definitely real life friends.
I think we've discussed cesarean sections. I think that pretty much...
And that's how it will continue, friends.
Only up from here, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh God, not down, hopefully. But we are... This whole podcast idea came up because we're interested in exploring what friendship means, not just to us, but to other people. So... we came up with this crazy idea.
So each week we'll enjoy a friendship double date with a well-known person and their best mate. Could be anybody.
Anybody.
Anybody in the world that they choose. They just have to be their mate.
Could be a friend from a week ago. Mm-hmm. Could be a friend from a lifetime ago. Mm-hmm. It's entirely up to them.
Exactly. We ask our guests to pick three songs that mean something to them.
And three items to put in the museum of their friendship. Now, particularly because Dales, a.k.a. Kat, has... That's what I'll probably refer to her for people listening to the podcast going on. Because that's kind of our nicknames for each other, is
totally.
Dales and Bowman.
Yeah, totally.
We always start our answer phone messages, which there are a lot of answer phone messages. I've gone... Whatever way around it is, it's like Deeley,
yes,
Bowman, or Bowman, Deeley.
Yeah.
But because Dales has spent quite a bit of time out in L.A., I think it'll become very apparent very quickly that Dales's address book is a little bit more... showbiz than mine.
Well, it's not necessarily more showbiz. It's just different showbiz.
So I look forward to seeing who our guests are going to be in the coming weeks, basically. But with this being our first episode, we wanted to introduce what the podcast is all about, what we're going to talk about, but also just talk about and celebrate our friendship, really, because even though you have, up until recently, lived on the other side of the world, distance didn't really kind of matter. And I think, well, I'm going to speak from my thought anyway, that our friendship is one that even though we might not have spoken or seen each other for months, as soon as we do, it's like we saw each other or spoke yesterday.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that you can meet people and have an instant connection with them and have a great time, or they can be there for you. But there are certain friendships that, to me, they have to grow gradually. And normally it's because of different things that happen in your life throughout, you know, whether it's thick and thin, good times, bad. Those are the bits of the friendships that we really kind of want to delve into too. I always feel like I would always go to you for advice. Like you are the, A, you're my tech guru. Let's just leave that at the doorway.
We'll talk about that in a bit.
But also... you always just did everything just a little bit before me. So anything that I'm slightly nervous about, like getting a mortgage or having a C-section or where should my boys go to school? Any of those kind of things that are the things that literally drive you crazy and you worry about, I come to you because you've been through it first and you go, well, it's actually... and
like old Mother Hubbard.
No, I was thinking more of a all-seeing, all-knowing guru.
Obi-Wan.
Yes.
Great, I love that.
Exactly. Yeah. What do you think about, what would you come to me for?
I mean, so much, to be honest. I mean, I'm not sure if we're allowed to say this or not, but shall we? Hold on. Cheers. Clinking. I'm always coming to her for bubbles.
Can make an average Monday a full-on Saturday night.
Honesty is what I always come to you for.
Do you?
Yeah. Because you never cloud anything.
Do I not?
You mean maybe there are times where you have to in life with other people and stuff. What I love about our friendship is there's no expectation.
I could come to you in pyjamas with a face pack on and look like a greasy potato chip. And you would be more than happy to give me a big old smooch and watch the telly.
Yeah, there's no expectation in terms of I expect you to do this and that as my friend. I just kind of know that you're always there.
I know what you mean. Do you know what I mean? Are certain friends who are quite demanding in a weird way.
Yeah, or they ask a lot of you or they expect a lot of you when you're not able to be there all the time and stuff like that. But I don't really have or need that with you because I always know that you know, you're there when I need you sort of thing, or when I need to kind of sound you out about something, or, you know, whatever it is, whether it's a life thing or a work thing or any of that. So, yeah, I kind of love that. It's a really sort of solid constant, I guess.
Wow, that's amazing.
Anyone got tissues?
I'm a solid constant, apparently. Sounds like you're describing a specimen. Yeah. I'm a solid constant. Must eat more fruit and veg. Add more fibre to your diet.
But with bubbles. Ta-da! Well, listen, we're going to move on, because what we do, and we are going to do with all of our guests, is we have this fantastic, massive list of questions. There are about four A4 pages of them. Mm. And I think that by the time we get to the end of the season, we will hopefully have answered all these questions with other people on their friendships. But I thought it might be quite fun today to talk about and just pick out a couple of questions that I want to ask you. You want to ask me, or answer for each other.
Yes, answer both.
I'm going to answer this one for you. Okay? Straight in.
Danger, danger.
Ba-ba-dum. Do they have a hidden talent? I don't think a lot of people will know this. Mm. You're a really good clarinet player.
I could toot a flute. Yes.
What grades did you get up to?
8.
See?
Yes. I used to play in an orchestra. I was very... What was the guy who did Stranger on the Shore? Bill Ackerbilk.
Mm-hmm. When did you last pick it up?
Not for a billion years. And in fact, I probably wouldn't even know how to do it anymore.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
Bedtime with the kids. Get the clarinet out. Ooh. And do a kind of Jungle Book march with the clarinet to bed.
Milo's playing violin.
Amazing.
One of those little ones.
Is it kind of beautiful but painful?
Oh, it's awful. It's awful. But I'm like, bravo, bravo. What's your hidden talent?
I don't think I have one. I just talk about everything too much.
Exactly. You don't hide very much,
no,
do you?
No.
Okay, celebrity crush. Your ultimate celeb crush.
Now or...
Take it wherever you want to go, my friend.
My first celebrity crush was Michael J. Fox.
Whose wasn't?
We had little wooden lockers at school and I had cut out pictures of him in his gilet.
Of course, with his hoverboard.
Oh, I love those trainers. Oh. And his winning smile. From Back to the Future. And then the weird thing happened about 6 months ago, is that I interviewed him.
And was he spectacular?
He was incredible. Obviously, he had this really traumatic experience of being diagnosed with Parkinson's very young.
Yeah, awful.
And he's the way that he's embraced it and sort of found his way through it and living with it and helping other people with it and things like that is amazing. And his most recent book, that was what we were chatting about. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't, instead of reading the book, there's an audiobook version of it. So I listened to him tell the story.
Oh, wow.
And obviously he has a little bit of a speech impediment because of his condition.
You can kind of tell, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you very quickly get into the rhythm of it.
Yeah.
And it was just the most glorious thing listening to him tell the story. And then I got the chance to chat to him and he was everything I wanted him to be.
Was
he? He's still got that, I don't know, you always kind of think there's a bit of someone in the characters that they play.
Yeah.
And with him, you know, you always think of Michael J. Fox's Marty
McFly. Yes.
And he very much has that kind of joyful, childlike sort of, you know, wonder still.
Yeah.
Little twinkle in his
eyes. I was just about to say he's very twinkly. Mine is Keanu Reeves.
Oh.
But the latter day, here and now.
Like a fine wine, isn't he?
Oh, my goodness. What is going on there?
Wow. Like, I mean, even the voice in the last Toy Story film.
It is so good. So I was doing Jimmy Fallon.
Here we go, people. That's the first of many.
And I was so blocked by my manager. She was literally like, he was on the show too. He was amazing, like all like scuffed shoes and like tobacco stained fingers. And I wasn't allowed anywhere near him. She was like, I am blocking this. You are not allowed. I'm like, shouldn't I just go and say hello? I mean, surely I should just come and say hello. Mr. Reeves. No, completely blocked. And it developed to a point where it's got so kind of... Ooh, it's so like pent up, full on crush.
The fists are clenched, everyone.
It's literally. Did you see him on Stephen Colbert?
No, I didn't.
And who's Stephen Colbert? I love too,
yes,
by
brilliant.
The way. And he leans over to Keanu Reeves and he goes, "Keanu, what happens when we die?"
Oh God.
And Keanu goes, "I don't know." He said, But I do know that the ones who love us will miss us. And the whole audience just sat there and, like, everybody got a bit teary.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, I'm finishing the interview on that. Ladies and gentlemen, Keanu Reeves shook his hand. I'm like, that is...
Where were you whilst this was going on?
Oh, I wasn't at Stephen Colbert. I've just watched it several times on the phone. Whenever I'm feeling a little lonely
or
stuck in
traffic. Where did they lock you up whilst you were on Jimmy Fallon together?
Oh, she literally, like, put the...
I can imagine.
Put the chair in front of the door.
I can imagine she specifically asked for your dressing rooms to be apart. Can you make sure that Kat's on a different floor from Keanu Reeves' dressing room, just in case?
When did you know he
was on the show?
Not till I got there.
Oh, wow.
See, because Paddy always thought he was absolutely fine because my other celebrity crush is Elvis. And he was like, that's cool. I'm okay with that. He's dead. And I'm like, no, I would actually dig him up.
Well, I'm going to ask you an actual question.
Go on, what's your actual question?
If you could live in any period of history, well, I can answer it for you. The face you just gave me for asking you that question.
Go on then.
Good God.
What would be your answer?
I had two, actually. Weirdly, you said Elvis, so it would be in his heyday.
Yes.
But also the whole Rat Pack vibe.
Oh, yes, I don't mind that as well.
Palm Springs, totally.
Misbehaving.
And that kind of Hollywood siren sort of type vibe. Mm,
I quite like that. When would you?
See, I think kind of like, I mean, I know I was sort of born in that era, but I was obviously very small. Blondie sort of vibes, you know, that kind of, or like sort of Fleetwood Mac at their heyday, that kind of 70s.
Yes.
Sort of, you know.
Amazing.
Peace and love vibes, all that kind of thing.
Yeah. She's kind of amazing, Stevie.
Yeah. I interviewed her once at Isle of Wight Festival. Mm. For people who've been to Isle of Wight, amazing festival, but the dressing rooms are the Premier Inn. So they take over the entire Premier Inn, and there was the dressing room. So I went to interview her in her dressing room, and she had an amazing spread. Mm. One entire wall was taken up by a wardrobe. Mm. She had her little Bluetooth speaker on, playing Kelly Clarkson at the time.
Oh.
And she opened the door and she was in her slippers. She was just the best.
She's a dude.
So child, wouldn't be amazing if we brought her on the show.
Yeah. I mean, I had a phone call with her at 2 o'clock in the morning once. Well, I was in LA and she was recording in the studio with Dave Stewart. And so she rung me. She was sleeping under a little pink fluffy blanket and she used to love the dance show. So she got this idea of going on and playing a track and sitting and playing. And so she told me about it, but it was 2 o'clock in the morning in the UK, because I was in the UK and they were in the US. And so she said to me, look, can I come on the show and can I play? And I'll play and Travis will do a number and blah, blah. And I was like, sorry, it was 2 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Who is this? And it was Stevie.
In three, okay, after three, say what Fleetwood Mac song
okay.
you would play, okay?
Okay.
Three, two, one, The Chain.
Yes.
Fleetwood Mac, The Chain. Oh. My second choice would have been Edge of 17.
Oh, I mean, you can play the whole album. I mean,
What we're going to do on the podcast is we're going to ask our guests to pick some songs. So songs that either mean something to them or songs that remind them of each other. And we might do a few more songs as we go through the show as well.
Why not? Why not? Okay, I'm going to read another question here off the old friendship questionnaire.
Yeah.
Specialist subject and mastermind.
Oh, geez.
Mine, dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs?
Yeah. Give me meat eaters, herbivores, carnivores, omnivores, Tyrannosaurus rexes.
Favourite dinosaur?
Parasilophorus. It's a mouthful for all of us. I also quite like, I'm built like a tank. I'm not the walls of a bank, because I'm Ankylosaurus. Storybots rocks.
Specialist subject... I mean, probably like random film facts.
Yes.
Or
definitely.
Spielberg or something like that.
I knew he was coming up any second.
I got to interview him for my podcast.
It was amazing.
I cried after it.
Did you? I'm not surprised. It's like the pinnacle.
Oh, it was, because it's that thing, like where we live, there's the Wi-Fi's rubbish. So whenever I've got to do work from home that involves Wi-Fi, it's like, okay, everybody, get off the Wi-Fi, read a book. Go and do some weeding. Just paint. Do something. Yeah. Get off your iPads and a device. No Wi-Fi. And so Tom and Spike were waiting down in the living room. And they were like, good luck, because I went up sort of thing. And then I came down and they were like, their little eyes were like pensive as I came through the door. And they were like, how was it? And I just burst into tears. And like, it was amazing.
It was such a great interview too. And he really liked you as well. He was literally like, I'll come back at any time. I was like, I'm so proud. I was like, I reposted. I got really proud. It was
you.
Amazing.
Have you had that with anyone where you've been so like overwhelmed by having the opportunity to talk to them about something? You've done so many great interviews.
I can't remember. I can't remember. Actually, weirdly, so here's one of my songs. Mm-hmm. You would never guess this song. It's Black Eyed Peas.
Oh, wow. Which one?
Tonight's Gonna Be a Good Night.
Oh.
Now, I know what you're thinking. Not really my thing, right? Not really my bag. But weirdly, it comes full circle with what you were just talking about with Steven Spielberg. The day I hosted the Brits, they opened the show. Bear in mind, I've been watching the Brits since I was a teenager. Like, you must have done the same thing and watched it since you were a teenager. And I was walking to go under the stage and Black Eyed Peas were playing. And it's like tonight. And I remember walking and being terrified. Not terrified, actually, but just like my adrenaline was going so hard. Mm-hmm. And then I went to get on this champagne bottle and one of the stagehands underneath like whacked me in the face with his elbow. So I was like, doof. And then I was like, no, I'm... You know how kids like shake it off. And then it was fine. But it was like that real moment. And now when I hear it, it can kind of take you back to that specific. And it was such a big deal for me. It was like one of those moments where they asked me to do it weeks before and then they said, but you'll be one of several different presenters. And I was like, I said, I don't really want to do that. I said, A, because I've really wanted to do this show forever. And B, it's really hard to do with lots of other people, people that you don't have a relationship with. It's very difficult because you're always trying to preempt any mistakes. And I was like, I mess up on my own really easily, but it's really hard.
You don't need anyone else
to try and catch. Anyway, then they couldn't book everybody else. Justin Timberlake said no. And so I went in again and I said, okay, do you want to do it? And I was like, yeah. Hamish Hamilton was director. He does the halftime
Super Bowl.
So he's like, he's a great director. And I said, how about if this year that the booze is coming back, how about if I fly in on a bottle of Jack Daniels and we can like do a thing? And the whole room went quiet. It was literally like tumbleweed and everybody just looked at everybody else and went, she's insane. She's loopy bonkers.
What have we done?
Yeah, totally. And then Hamish went, I like that. He says, you can't fly in. You have to have a special certificate to fly people in. He says, I know that because Beyonce's coming up out of a car with flames instead. So I know that. He says, but what about if I raise you up out of the floor with searchlights and a fire curtain to primal screams, get your rocks off? I was like, done. And then there was just a natural love affair between the two of us. 50 Cent ended up in my dressing room as well. Did I tell you that?
No. But you remember the Eminem Brits experience we had?
No, what was that one?
I think it might have been the year before you hosted it, or maybe it was the year after.
Was it the boy? Did the boys do it that year, Ant and Dec?
Maybe, but I remember you were wearing this amazing kind of white furry coat, sort of full-length furry coat type thing.
Okay.
Like a bit sort of like Huggy Bear type vibes from Starsky and Hutch. In a good way. And we were just at this kind of weird backstage bar and Eminem and his mates kind of came up and were just chatting to us. Do you remember that?
No.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What did they say?
They were just very complimentary of us in their own unique way. Wanted to buy us a drink, even though it was a free bar. Cheap.
Stacey Dooley, Fresh Starts.
This is the podcast that follows remarkable people as they're about to embark on a different chapter in their lives.
My fresh start is leaving a semi-illustrious career in teaching and joining my friend's husband in his quest to bring lingerie to the men of Great Britain and beyond.
We'll meet more brilliant people who've taken the plunge and started something new.
Stacey Dooley, Fresh Starts. Listen only on BBC Sounds.
Friends Will Be Friends with Kat and Edith.
So, there were many songs when I was thinking about songs that remind me of you. And what's nice, I guess, that I can pepper those songs throughout the series if I want to.
Feel free. We can. Use them like seasoning. Sprinkle them at your will.
But the one I'm going to go with is Dean Martin's Amore.
Ah.
Because, yes. Well, a couple of reasons, actually. When we did our wee travel show, Road Tripping, Italy was one of the countries that we did. We went across to Capri.
Oh, my goodness.
And we were on a wee taxi boat across to Capri. And then we had this lovely taxi driver who had a salmon pink jumper.
It was all salmon pink.
Wrapped
cashmere.
And wrapped and just tied around his shoulder.
Casually knotted.
Yeah, in a soft top taxi. And we sang Amore.
Yes, hellish.
We weren't even sitting in our seats. We were like up on the back of the seats, kind of swaying, just loving being there and doing what we were doing. And then maybe too personal to share with people, but it was also played at your wedding.
It was actually. Yes, it was indeed. We ended up getting married in Rome, which was lovely. And then we had to, then we bribed the hotel staff to keep the bar going a bit longer and the dancing. I don't even know how I ended up on the Amalfi Coast the next day.
No.
Yeah. I've got no idea.
Because I left about 3 a.m. because there was a bus going back into town. And I was like pregnant at the time as well.
Oh, well, so then I was you're limited. Good. You're good to ask all the questions.
But I still had an amazing time and have a weird kind of pregnancy brain of not remembering much.
Oh, my God.
But leaving.
Yeah.
On the bus and just, oh, it was magical. But that song, Dean Martin's Amore, as soon as I hear that song,
let's do it.
You're the first thing that pops into my head.
Come on, Dino, let's have it.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella.
Oh, that takes me lovely places. Lovely, lovely places. Yeah. And actually, this next question is going to take us lovely places too.
Okay.
Best and worst gift I've ever given you. Now, I think, sorry to blow my own trumpet here.
Yeah.
But the best gift was, remember when I was renting...
Renting what?
The beach house.
Oh, yes.
Remember sleeping with the enemy, but without the enemy?
Yeah.
So remember they had that amazing house, yeah, like right on the beach? I was always like, oh my goodness, this would be amazing. And so the one year when I was in LA, I was pregnant with James, mm-hmm, so I wasn't flying. And I was like, but we need to go somewhere or have something. And so what was supposed to be a weekend stay developed into a... Oh, we'll just keep it.
Let's rent it.
Let's rent it. Let's not buy it. Let's not fully commit, but let's rent it. Yeah. So we could literally chuck the boys in the back of the car in their pyjamas, give them a banana, drive down the PCH, stick a nice bit of Beach Boys classic on the radio, and then they'd wake up and they'd be at the beach. And you were in town. I was like, you know what? It was always my favourite thing to do. Go on, go have the beach house for the weekend.
It was amazing.
So amazing.
Just that idea. I mean, because growing up by the seaside as well, I have this complete physical connection with the sound of the sea.
Mm.
And so you're...
And it's right on.
Like the waves lap under the house.
Yeah.
And you kind of wake up. There's no escaping the sound of the sea. It's just the most amazing thing. We'd wake up in the morning. You see, there'd be this one person on a paddleboard every morning would go along.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd see these kind of pods of dolphins and porpoises and stuff. It was the most magical thing.
Yeah, it was a totally pinch me, I'm so lucky, spread the love type of moment.
I might have tried to encourage Tom to reenact the opening scene of Grease. You know, when Danny and Sandy kind of have that weird summer where they're on the beach and the waves lap up on the rock.
That
when
is
she's
just,
wearing the
that is too just much. Odd. I okay. just cannot
as much as I tried, he just wasn't up for it. No. Yeah, that was an amazing gift. Mm-hmm. Very generous.
But not really a gift. I mean, it was just a,
well, it was
go
a gift.
On, off yeah. you go.
My favourite gift that you've given me is this beautiful little bracelet you bought me. Mm. Really delicate, lovely gold chain with little hearts on it.
Aww.
And it's the most beautiful, tiny, delicate little thing sort of thing that I have broken about four or five times, but I always get it mended because I can't not have it to wear. Because
you know
just...
what? It was a lovely thought. Next time,
yeah.
Next time, think of the quality. I think that's what you're saying there, isn't it?
I
think what you're saying
is... I am so unladylike. I mean, I remember when I was doing Rise and I'd have to do that walk through every morning, like from
remember
the...
Remember that.
And my mum would always kind of give me like notes after every show going,
oh, on your
maybe walk a little bit more ladylike.
Really?
I mean, heels are not really my thing.
They're not your friend.
No,
definitely not. They're not your friends. What time did you have to get up for that?
Well, we had to be in there for like sort of half four, five.
Ooh.
It was awful. But I remember when you were doing CDUK and SMTV and you were like properly, like you were religious. You would not do anything on a Friday night before that.
No.
You would never kind of.
No.
It was like,
but,
no.
But that was also because we didn't have any auto cue and we had a script that was that thick.
It was massive.
It was a huge script. And so, and it would always change. We'd do rehearsals on a Thursday in a rehearsal room, which just involved like loads of cups of tea. And then we'd have Friday all day to rehearse. And then we'd get up at, I don't know, four or something like that. And then it was picked up at five. But we were also always in bed by 8 o'clock. Like we'd finish the show.
Go across the road to the pub.
We'd go to the bar. Then we'd go back to someone's house for a takeaway. And then we were all in bed by 8 o'clock because we'd done the day before, the morning so early. Then all the adrenaline had kicked in. Then we'd gone for pints and then we'd...
It was so much fun coming down to watch you do the show.
It was quite fun.
It was awesome.
It was quite fun.
Off the top of your head, three vivid memories immediately think of when you think of our friendship. I'm going to throw a couple in here.
Go on.
The first one is us nearly getting arrested in Morocco. Because Dale's...
I was frightened. Actually frightened.
We were doing the travel show. We were driving from Marrakesh to Essaouira.
Yes.
And we were correct. On this road that just went to the horizon. It was a straight road.
We actually camped in the Sahara Desert too with the Berber tribe.
We did, yeah. Oh, I loved all that dancing we did on the dunes. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So
sand
much fun.
Sand everywhere.
So great.
Sand in places you didn't even know you could get sand.
But you felt it.
Ooh, chafed.
And we couldn't see anything for miles. Our crew were in another vehicle. We had kind of little walkie-talkie things. And we couldn't even see the crew. And then suddenly out of nowhere, this police car arrived with its sirens wailing as we were driving down this road. Now, unbeknown to us, Dales, who was driving at the time, had overtaken something in the road. Maybe it was a camel. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, I have no idea.
But
I'd crossed over this central line.
Which
anyway.
Was continuous, which you're not allowed to do in the highway code, apparently. Mm. And this car appeared from nowhere and pulled us over. And it was scary.
Well, they were quite aggressive. They were speaking in a language that neither of us understood at all.
Yeah. But we were able to laugh about it afterwards.
Yeah, only after it took a bit of time in between that and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that whole kind of experience of road tripping actually was amazing because we got to go to so many amazing
camping
places.
Camping in the Sahara Desert. I mean, it's bonkers, no?
And then I remember that weird trip to Mexico, Taxco, where we saw the Day of the Dead festival.
Yes.
We stayed in that really weird, dingy hotel that there was a big bee's nest outside on the air conditioning unit.
And people would walk past in hoods, like self-flagellating down the street.
But doing bar top dancing in
Mexico.
Yeah, Copacabana Beach on spring break and all that kind of stuff. It was the most amazing experience.
Yeah.
So I think about all the brilliant times that we had on that trip, which was supposed to be work. And I think that that's kind of a nice thing that I think about is like, there's not many people I could spend that much time with in such, people look at those shows and you look at what's on TV, but behind the scenes, it's quite stressful and you're trying to cover a lot of stuff in a short space of time.
Yeah. And there's always curveballs, always. You can plan for pretty much everything.
Yeah.
But then at the end of the day, you just have to be prepared to let it go and just embrace what comes along. I mean, remember when we did a crossing from Saint-Tropez to Cannes, didn't we?
And we had to basically hitch a ride.
the production hadn't booked anything for
us.
We had to go and find somebody on the marina
to give us a lift in a boat. And it was the most dreadful, dreadful storm.
That wasn't there when we started the journey.
It was not there when we left the harbour. However, all of us were vomiting over the side. Like, it was, we were holding.
You say all of us.
You weren't. You sat on the stairs inside reading a magazine. That's normal.
That's the thing I learned about you quick, about your seasickness. Didn't know about that.
No, but the thing is, I didn't have it until I did that. And now, every single
boat,
I promise you, every single boat I get on, I only have to feel that.
Oh, we ruined it.
Yeah. Forever.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, ruined forever.
I mean, it wasn't my choice, but I'm very sorry about it. Oh,
hey, God. Listen, you know the other one that I really remember us doing too? Talking of MTV days, when we went to see The Verve, they were playing...
Yes!
What was the venue? It was there...
Hague Hall in Wigan.
That's it.
And how did we get there?
We drove in whose's car?
Whose's dad's Mercedes.
Oh, it wasn't his?
It wasn't his, no. And who else was there?
Paul?
No.
Who?
Zane Lowe.
Was it Zane Lowe as well?
Yeah.
Oh.
That was one of my songs.
Was it written? Have I just stolen it from you?
No, it was good.
Oh my God. Wasn't that amazing? Like, I think that it was just, we had a real journey to get there. And it was, you know, when it, I think your
road trip, wasn't it?
Your anticipation, like, builds you to this place. And then the lights went down over the town, and then Richard Ashcroft just took over, and it was just the most brilliant gig.
And we weren't there for work. We'd just gone there to watch the show, and it was the Verve's last gig.
Yeah.
At Hague Hall in Wigan, hometown. And I remember the location of it, like you say, the lights went down, you could see the twinkly lights of Wigan in the background.
Yeah.
And then I remember when the gig finished and we were walking back to the car, and they'd kind of had all those kind of festoon lights in the grounds of Hague Hall as we walked back to the car, and it was really magical.
Mm. Mm. And we all kind of trudged and sang and laughed, and it was great. And the Verve were always falling out as well, so you never knew quite what was going to happen next. Mm.
Yeah, totally.
So it felt special.
Yeah, so I think that's definitely so weird. I'd put that down as one of my songs, so shall we have that as our next shared song?
And I promise, ladies and gentlemen, we have not conferred. Let's do it. The Verve. No change, I can change, I can change, I can change, but I'm here in my mold.
Oh, lovely. There we go. Verve, Bittersweet Symphony.
So good.
Our shared track, taking us back to Hague Hall, watching them with our friends Hoos Monferradi and Mr. Zane Lowe.
Very good.
One of the things that we're going to do as well with all the guests that we have on the podcast is we're going to ask them, if we were to put a kind of exhibition on of their friendship, what would be the things that they would have in the cabinet, either for each other, for their friendship, or remind them of each other? So I've picked a couple of things for you that I would put in your lovely crystal. No, it wouldn't be crystal. What would it be?
Probably a bit of IKEA.
Come on.
Probably.
It would be... Do you know what it would be? It would be like an old... It reminds me of your flat in London. You know that amazing kind of old Spanish door that you had?
Oh, yeah.
It would be that kind of sort of nice kind of casket, kind of vintage casket.
Lovely.
And in it would be...
When you say casket, do you mean like something that I
No, I don't mean a casket. I mean like a... What do you call them? What are they called? Like
just put me in my coffin.
You're not in your coffin.
One show in and you've just put me in my coffin. Jeez, some people have big ideas, don't they?
What are they called?
By the way, if I go missing, you know who is the perpetrator.
The three things I would have on your beautiful...
Casket.
Not what are they called? It's not a casket. A cabinet. That's what I mean.
Okay.
On display.
Yes.
For everyone to see.
Go.
Champagne.
Yes. Check.
An amazing pair of heels.
This is where the pandemic's hit really hard.
But you're a
my
bit like...
My heel height.
But that's because you've just not had to wear them. But I always think of you like Kylie. Like, I remember Kylie always talking about how she would do the washing in her high heels sort of thing. You are able to walk in heels like no one else I know. Like, you can pull off a heel with anything. Any height, any high heel, smash it.
Cobbles, not my friend.
But like, when you walk out, like, onto a stage and the many things that you've done on TV, like on dance, like, you literally, like, it's like I am wearing Converse, that you just kind of like, yeah, I'm like, she's still doing
that.
But
you know what? You know what the scariest thing of all is? Uh-huh. I'm actually really clumsy. Like, I am the clumsiest person you have ever. Do you know what I did once in ridiculously high heels on live television?
Tell me.
So there was a kid called JJ on the dance show, and he did a routine, and he basically jumped, had his hands on his partner's shoulders, split kicked his legs and jumped over the top.
Leapfrog.
A leapfrog, if you will. But no one was bending over. He went from the shoulders to over.
Wow.
Over the head, right? Now, bear in mind, JJ was approximately 3'5". And I am 5'9" with no shoes. So it, with shoes, I'm 6 foot. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
was, plus.
Yeah. And his partner was only little too. And I said on live TV, do you think you could do that with me?
Oh, my God.
And so the whole audience was like, do it, do it, do it. Like, go, like. And actually, when I got home, my husband said exactly the same. I said, did you see it? Wasn't it great? And he was like, you do realise you could have broken your neck on live TV. I was like, oh, I didn't really think about that. And he basically ran from the diagonal of the stage. I bent my knees a little bit because he's got to, I've got to take the weight of him as he goes over. Not squatted, no. I wish I'd squatted. And he bounced over the top of me, at which point I fell to the floor. Still managed to hold my mic, which goes to show.
Why have I not seen this?
You, have a look. It's worth having a look. But don't know what the audience saw from me falling flat. I mean, listen, it's fine. I've got industrial underwear on. I mean, like, it was literally like scaffolding under there. And I made it. I live to tell the tale.
Look at you, still here.
So if anybody fancies having a little look at that moment, please feel free.
Hold on a second. Literally on my phone as we see. Well, at least you had another person involved in falling.
Yes.
I introduced Fats and Small on stage in Ibiza at El Divino's for Dance for a Chart.
How many people were in the audience?
I've kind of tried to erase it from my mind.
Approximately.
I mean, I would say about 400.
Yeah.
All that was required of me was to say, ladies and gentlemen, Fats and Small. And gesticulate with my left hand in a kind of open-handed gesture. At which point, I tanked it off the front of the stage into the kind of pit area.
Did you hurt yourself? Did you?
I can't remember.
Because also,
I was so embarrassed and mortified that you kind of, you almost like bounce off the ground straight back up. Did you do something similar?
Yeah, you just literally get straight back up. But also, I was a bit like, you only realise how silly you've been in the afterglow.
I'm going to try and find both those clips to share with everyone. And the third thing I'm going to put in my cabinet.
Yes.
Cabinet of deals. Mm. Is a picture book.
Oh, okay. Go
of
on.
Of pictures of us. Because when I was kind of planning for this and thinking about it and looking back at old pictures, oh my God, there are so many.
Oh, we've laughed so much.
Tell me, what is the first picture of you?
Okay, so this is our thing. Our friendship has gone on for so long that it was actually before the time of camera phones, really.
Mm-hmm.
And so the very first picture I found of you...
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, no! With an ex-boyfriend who shall remain nameless, deals. Thanks very much for that one.
What were the cocktails called?
Oh, they were in, scorpions. Like, skulls.
Scorpions.
They were in, like, skulls and big... coconuts.
Mm. It was like a luau, like a Hawaiian luau. What's your first one of me?
I'm trying to find it. I'm not much less prepared than you are.
Party. If you could have a party anywhere, where would you have a party?
Do you know what? I'd redo my wedding.
Would you?
I'd redo that party I had for my wedding.
Why?
Because it was just awesome.
Okay. I thought you meant redo, like,
oh, not
scrap
the vibe,
it
not and... redo, the, just the party vibe bit.
Yeah, but I thought you meant redo it, like, do it.
No, not the vibe thing. Just kind of like everybody get all my mates together and have a ceilidh and then a disco and have some dancing. Because it's that weird thing where I feel like I can't remember much about it because it was a weird sort of. You spend so much time going, hi, I've just got it. Oh, hi, I've just got it. Hi, you know. So, but I loved having everybody in the room. I loved having, I think because the last couple of years as well have been so limited on what you can do and who you can see and how many people you can have together. The idea of having a big collection of people in just a big room and have a great sound system and have a dance and, yeah.
Those are the things you've really missed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just
no,
kind
totally.
Of, you know, sort of, chatting and dancing and drinking and having fun and making new memories.
Yeah.
We've got to stop talking at some point because we've got to let people, you know, this has got to come to an end, this first episode of our podcast, Friends Will Be Friends. And it's quite hard to know how to kind of wrap it up or come to a close, I guess. But I'm really excited to have conversations with lots of different people about friendship.
Yeah.
And what their friendship means to them. And how, I mean, that's the thing about friendships as well. They could be new friendships. You know, we've both had moments where we've moved and we've had to make new friends and things like that. I think the one thing that I would change with our friendship is that we were in the same place for a while. Because, you know, you were in LA for how long?
12 years, I think, 14 years.
And then literally the month you moved back, I moved out of London.
Yeah, you moved like, out to the sticks. Yeah, no, it was, dreadful. So now I realise how easy it is to get to you. You may be in big trouble.
Bring it on.
But me booming. You know what I want you to do, actually? Mm-hmm. This is what I want for our friendship.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to take me cold water swimming.
Oh, yes.
I've never done it.
What?
I'm scared.
All you need is woolly hat. I'll get you the gloves and the boots, swimming cozy. Get on the train, come up to me, and we'll do it before the next episode.
It's supposed to be really good for you, isn't it?
It's amazing for you.
Okay. So you're going to do,
we're doing it.
Okay, fine.
I mean, if you can't come to me, we'll go up to Hampstead Ponds and do it.
That I'm not doing. I don't know what's under that water.
You're wearing boots. It doesn't matter.
I don't want to touch it. I don't want to touch it with my feet. Don't want to touch it. I'll come with you. We'll swim somewhere else. I'm not doing that. No.
All right. I'm going to finish by asking you.
Yeah.
To sum up our friendship in three words. I'll start first.
Yeah.
Timeless, easy chats.
Oh, that's lovely. I was going to say steadfast, honest, loyal.
Gonna cry. Listen, thank you so much for listening to our first episode of our podcast, Friends Will Be Friends, on BBC Sounds and BBC Radio 2. We're very excited to where this is going to go and who we're going to chat to, I think.
We absolutely are. We've got some great guests coming on. And why not subscribe to Friends Will Be Friends on BBC Sounds to make sure you don't miss it. And of course, share it with your friends. We will, hopefully, if they let us back. See you next week.
Cheers.
Empty.
Friends Will Be Friends with Kat and Edith.
So, when does the show start?
Series 4 is finally here.
How is Villanelle?
And we're obsessed with killing Eve.
I killed two people last night after I tried really hard not to.
Okay.
Join me, Zing.
And me, Naomi.
As we analyze every episode and obsess over every single detail.
Hot takes, thoughts, fan theories.
And we'll be joined by special guests and celebrity fans.
You're gonna love it.
I want to sweep the chessboard off the table and set it on fire.
Obsessed with Killing Eve.
Download and subscribe now on BBC Sounds.